For the higher risk, there's actually less proven therapeutic interventions that are known to be of benefit in some type of randomized study. The best intervention in terms of data is the use of lenalidomide or Revlimid for patients with low-risk disease. Now, this compound should be really targeted to very specific population of patients. These are mainly patients with anemia, and the data indicates that patients that have near normal platelets, that are early on their disease, that are minimally transfusion, but you think that they're going to start needing transfusions, are the ones who benefit the most. And actually, the results are very impressive, with response rate that go up to 70-80%, and with a large fraction of these patients having complete cytogenetic remissions. Now, these are patients also that are characterized by this chromosome 5 abnormality. Now, the FDA has not approved the use of lenalidomide outside this setting of 5q- anemic MDS patients. The NCCN guidelines, of which I'm actually also part, says that you could potentially use it in that subset of patients without a 5q alteration, but the response rate is significantly lower, things like 20s to 30s, and the response duration is also significantly lower. All this data has been published in the New England Journal and Blood by different investigators, led by Dr. List, also from Tampa. Now, although the 5q alteration is the most frequent in lower risk MDS, it probably affects around 10 to 20% of the patients. And if you look at the exact characteristics that may predict for response, it actually probably involves, if you are very generous, 5 to 10% of the patients with MDS, talking about 5q minus normal platelets, etc. Sometimes the drug is a little bit used outside this context, sometimes for patients with general MDS, etc. So, basically, there's no major drawback from that because the drug is not extremely toxic. Induction mortality nowadays is low, and the drug works kind of fast. So if after a couple of months you've seen no benefit, then you can move on. Now, there are other interventions for lower risk disease, but none of them have really been proven in a randomized study to have any true significant improvement in survival. Now, I have to say that the lenalidomide has not been shown either to have that effect, but the data that we have is really strong, and I think that with no hesitation we should recommend it. The other interventions will include, for instance, the role of iron chelation in myelodysplastic syndrome and the role of growth factor support in this disease. So starting with the growth factor, you know, we all use it. As you know, this being a big cut by, I guess, Medicare and the federal government in terms of using these drugs in cancer in general, but it's clear that they help patients with myelodysplastic syndrome, particularly the combination of a red cell growth factor like erythropoietin with a myeloid one like GCSF, although GCSF is not approved in MDS. There's some data presented at the JCO this year that indicates that that combination in patients with very early stage disease, anemic, actually has an impact on survival, but this is kind of complicated comparative type of analysis. So this is now an effort to do a randomized study of growth factor in patients with MDS. So the jury is still out, although we all think that these drugs will potentially work, and of course they're extremely safe in MDS. There's actually no data that they truly benefit our patients, although this is a big market. The other issue is this phenomenon of deposition in MDS. So basically, this data comes from the Pavia group in Italy, from Dr. Cazzola and Dr. Malcobati. And this group were trying to actually improve on the IPSS. And what they found was that patients with anemia do worse. Now, the first time I read this paper, I have to tell you, I could not really understand it because anemia is like the key feature of this disease. But not every patient with MDS is, I guess, dependent of red cell transfusions. And it turns out, actually, that progressive need for transfusions is a very strong negative marker of prognosis in these patients. Now, the dogma right now is that that's related to iron accumulation in the heart, the liver. And of course, then you will make the translation that coming from the pediatric data with sickle cell anemia and the thalassemias, that if you're going to chelate these patients, then you will have improvement in terms of outcomes. Now, there's no data either proving that concept. Now, it makes sense, and I think that most of us will buy on it. But the reality is that I don't have a lot of patients that die from CHF or cirrhosis. What my patients die is from infection. And I'm wondering, actually, if it's possible that iron metabolism may have a role, because, for instance, a lot of the yeast and fungal elements, they actually require iron for their proliferation. It may be actually that the chelation is controlling the disease in that path. Now, those drugs are approved. You can use them. They are not extremely toxic. They are a little bit expensive. But it's possible, for instance, that a program with growth factor support, iron chelation, may have actually a significant impact in patients early on their disease. But this is actually ongoing research. So this is complicated because this is common practice, but still it requires some type of formal large studies. The third issue in lower risk disease is immune modulation. Now, there's a group of patients with this so-called hypoplastic MDS, and there's very nice data that these patients do well with ATG, cyclosporine, growth factor support, etc. Now, in the younger group of patients, bone marrow transplantation is the way to go, and you have excellent outcomes in this situation. And in the older, this is a little bit more complicated. In our experience, response rate is not as high. Unfortunately, this type of immune modulatory agents take quite a bit of time to work, sometimes 6, 7, 8 months. And during that period of time, these patients are going to be very neutropenic, transfusion-dependent, etc. And then you lose quite a fraction of patients during that process just from infection and other complications. So those are the things that we could have right now in terms of a standard of care that physicians could do in their practice. Lenalidomide for the group of patients I mentioned, growth factor support, iron chelation, and then, in my opinion, the immune modulation for patients with hypoplastic MDSs that are defined by bone marrow cellularity of less than 20%. And that's why actually it's so important that you get biopsies, not just aspirates in your patients, because the way to basically evaluate this process is by doing a biopsy.